All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 13a, the Trinity of Evil. In this 13th chapter of Revelation, we're going to see that Satan has a counterfeit Trinity that's made up of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And it really shouldn't surprise us that Satan would try to mimic the Holy Trinity, made up of course, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because Satan wants to be God. So it only makes sense that he would try to copy the things that God does. The Godhead, even. Some scripture to back that up would be 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, where Paul says, "And no marvel," or don't be surprised, "for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light," transformed or disguised. You know, so the world is going to follow after Satan, the entire world. We're going to see that here in this 13th chapter. And it's because the world is going to be looking for a savior. And I mentioned it on Facebook the other day that what's to come is that there will be more wars, more terrorism, more economic troubles, and they will increase and increase, maybe even up to the point where there will be a World War III or something very close to it. And it will get so bad that the people of the world will yearn for a Savior. And he and his Holy Trinity, or his unholy Trinity, will fulfill that desire for the people. In other words, the people will be looking for a Savior so much that they will accept the Antichrist as the false Messiah. And this, here's another verse. "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." That's what's going to happen when the people, when the entire world, besides a very small remnant, will accept this unholy Trinity, will accept the false Messiah instead of the true Messiah. Oh, they're going to think he's the true Messiah. Make no mistake about that. But they're going to think that because they are going to be deceived by his miracles, by his teachings, and things like that, because they have not studied the Word of God. They have not studied the Word of God. Let's take another look at this. So from the world's perspective, the dragon is the Father. The beast is the Son, and the false prophet will be the Holy Spirit, or even the Holy Spirit incarnate. Now, I'm saying this is from the world's perspective. They will truly believe this, and Satan will convince them of this. And you'll see these three characters, especially in this 13th chapter of Revelation, these three characters, three individuals, work together in alliance as this unholy Trinity. And, well, let's go right here. I got here circled down here at the bottom here. The beast will be the one to fulfill the role as Savior of the world. It's, you know, except for being the Son of God, he will be the son of the dragon, the false Messiah, And we'll expound upon that, so just be patient. All right, so it is important to know how each part operates, because God wants us to be well informed about the enemy. And we're going to talk about why this beast is an individual and not just a system. In fact, it's an individual and a system, or it's an individual that controls the world governments. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because I think we have a slide on this. But anyways, I thought it was interesting that the dragon is actually called, or Satan is actually called, a father. A father by Christ in John chapter 8, verse 44, when he was talking to those of his seed. Except he is the false father, the evil father. But nevertheless, Jesus Christ gave him that title. So that's important to know. So we're going to get into those different parts. We're going to talk mainly about the son, the false son role, the false Messiah, and see how all this works. And like I said, we're going to document without a shadow of a doubt that the beast is an individual that controls a system. And anyways, we'll get into that in a second here, but let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word. Please give us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we can be better servants of yours. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here we go. Revelation 13, verse 1, and it reads, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy." Now, when you're looking at this for the first time, if you've never read this before, this looks like, you know, when I first read this as a kid, I thought a real beast was going to come out of the sea looking like this. And, but it's not that at all. Remember, Revelation deals in symbols and symbolism. And here we go. Let's look at something here. This is very important if we're going to understand how the satanic trinity works. The unholy trinity, the trinity of evil. The dragon, we know, was none other than Satan himself. It was documented in Revelation 12, verse 9. He was cast out from heaven. Now write that down. He was cast out from heaven. But this beast that we just read about here in this first verse, he comes from the sea. And I got Revelation 13, verse 7 on there, but I think it should be Revelation 13, verse 1. Sorry about that. So they're coming from two different places. Like I've always said in this, since we've been studying this book of Revelation together, we must pay attention to detail. The details are given to us for a reason. We don't want to overgeneralize things. Because, and another thing I've said before, one truth always leads to another truth, no matter how insignificant you think it might be at the time. It matters. It matters. This book of Revelation is the intelligence letter given to you by the greatest intelligence service of the universe, from the throne of God. And you're one of his servants, one of his agents on this earth. And he's trying to tell you what is happening. And it's written in code. And we just need to decipher it. Anyways, so this beast comes out of the sea, and we know from Revelation 17, verse 15, that the sea equals peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So this beast rises up from among the peoples, the multitudes, nations, languages, and tongues. That's important. He doesn't come from heaven like the dragon does. Which brings us to the next slide here. Now, when you look at the beast and the dragon, they are very similar. And I don't, okay, there we go. They're very similar. They both had heads, horns, and crowns. Similar but different. And just as the dragon, now this is an important point to remember. Just as the dragon was, the great red dragon was none other than Satan himself. And he was an individual ruling over a kingdom. So is the beast. So is the beast. In other words, we talked about how the dragon, you know, all the heads and horns, those are extensions of his power. That's part of him. But yet he is an individual and he is Satan. And this beast has the same thing. He is an individual with a power structure coming out of him. The heads and the horns and so forth. So with that said, we could ask ourselves these questions. Is he human? Is he superhuman? Is he a fallen angel? Is he Satan himself? Speaking of the beast. Or is he the seed of the serpent? I want you to think about those questions as we get in and we study this. We are going to, this study we're going to do today, we're going to merely document. Not just merely, but one of the main thing we're going to do is document without a shadow of a doubt, again, that this beast is in fact an individual controlling the world systems, the kingdoms of this world. But we're going to explore in another study a little bit more in depth of these questions at the bottom here, a little bit more in depth. Human, superhuman, angel, Satan himself, or the seed of the serpent. Anyways, some common teachings about this beast is that the beast is the Catholic Church. Protestants have been teaching that. I mean, you look at the old commentaries, commentary after commentary, starting with Luther himself, that the beast was the Pope. Or the Antichrist, or the Roman Catholic Church. Other teachings from people say that the beast is America. Some say that the beast is merely a system, a political system. Some say that the beast is an Islamic caliphate. But I'm going to say this again. We're going to say this over and over again. The beast is an individual. He is the Antichrist. He is the Antichrist. So you can put all those other things aside, or at least go through the Bible again. And if you're having a hard time accepting that, go through the Bible. And look at all these places after we get done covering them and think about them and pray about them. All right, here we go. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. So now we're getting a description of this beast. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat, his throne, and great authority. So here's a little, here's an artist depiction made by a friend of mine of the physical description of this beast. I think it's pretty cool. You can kind of see there, you know, it looks pretty scary, pretty frightening, coming up out of the sea with all the different horns and the lion's heads and so forth. And what you see here one point I want to make about this beast is that it is a hybrid. It's made up of all these different venomous beasts of prey, the leopard, the bear, the lion, and it has all these horns. I mean, this is a hybrid. We're going to get into this. We're going to expound upon this point. Just remember this, that Christ, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, was described in symbolism as being a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. That's the opposite of this beast. You have the true Son of God and the false Son of God. The lamb is a clean offering. It is acceptable unto God. But this leopard, lion, and bear hybrid is not a clean sacrifice. It is unclean. And you'll see why that's important in a minute. But if you wanted to just look at this in a basic sense, what you see here is a venomous beast of prey that destroys, whose object is to destroy the souls of men. Now, to the world, is this beast going to look venomous? Is the New World Order going to look like a bad thing? No, they're going to rejoice. The beast is going to control the entire world, the false Messiah. And they're going to love it. They're going to think he is the true Messiah. And he's very good at convincing the world of that. All right, let's go to verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Oh, we already read this, but I got highlighted here the dragon in yellow. Now, who gives the beast its power? This is very important. The dragon gives him his power. Well, Satan is the dragon. So who is he giving power to? An individual. A world ruler called the beast to us. Anyways, he gives him his power, his throne, and great authority. Now, here's a picture of it that kind of is a, I really like this one. Here you see the dragon here with the multi-heads, which is Satan. He's handing over the scepter to this beast with the multi-heads and the multi-horns. Interesting. And there's a reason why Satan would do that. Because in fact, it actually gives him glory. It elevates him to have somebody else in control of all these kingdoms of the world. You know, a lot of things work that way. Even the role of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is, you know, the one that's, you know, sort of unseen most of the time. And the many people, the disciples, the apostles, they saw the Son. They saw the Son. It's like a layer there. Anyways, let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Because there's something important about how this dragon, which is Satan, how he can give power, authority, how he can grant kingdoms to people. For he has that right at this time. Now check this out. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, which is the same as the dragon. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. But he answered and said, oh, I missed verse 3. And I don't remember what it says here, so I better look it up here in my in the hard copy here. Matthew chapter 4. That happens once in a while when you're building the slides. You forget a verse. Anyways, 4 verse 3 of Matthew chapter 4, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And that was a very important verse. I'm pretty disappointed that I left that out, because Satan is questioning the authority of Christ as being the Son of God. Why? Because Satan wants his own son to be the Messiah. And I'll explain how that works to the best of my ability. Stay with me during this study and the next one. It's very important. It has to do with the prophecy of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The first prophecy of the Bible foretold of two sons, two seeds, the Son of God and the son of Satan. Two messiahs, one true, one false. And Satan is saying, if you are the Son of God, in other words, he had somebody else in mind, but he was going to do something here with him anyways. Verse 4, but he answered, Christ answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is a profound statement. Think about that. We say that at the end of all of our studies. We quote this verse, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every single word of God. That's how we are commanded to live. In other words, we can't just live off of flesh food. We need spiritual food, and it's right here. On all the pages that we absorb, you know, we don't see it, but we can feel it. Fulfill our hunger. And somebody who does not take these words into them is somebody who is in a state of spiritual starvation. Somebody who is near the point of death. Now check this out. That's why Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. In fact, that's the purpose of a fast, is so that you can wean yourself off of that food for that certain amount of time, however long the fast is, and realize that we live by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Interesting. That's the definition of what the whole fast was about, so that we could recognize that. Okay, verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Now check this out. He's going to say it again. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And we know that Christ was Satan was misquoting this verse from the Old Testament. I think it's Psalms 91. We're not going to go into, we've done other studies on that before. But the point we're going to look at here is, he's again, that he is questioning. He says, if you're truly the Son of God, you'll just jump off this building and you won't get harmed. You know what the beast is going to do? This exact thing. He is going to show the exact thing that Satan was requiring of Jesus to do. I'm not saying he's going to jump off of a building, but he will display to the world that he is invincible, that he cannot be killed, that he is the world's Superman. And you will see that when we get back to Revelation 13. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, you don't play games with God. You don't just jump off a building to make a point, to prove something. And I like how Jesus said this to Satan, because Satan thinks he's God. Jesus says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 8, and again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. This is really important. What is he showing? He's showing him the whole world, the whole world order. Verse 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And of course, we're going to read here in a second that Christ would reject this offer. It was Satan's to give. But you know what? That Jesus Christ rejects the beast of Revelation 13 will accept. Think about that for a minute, because the dragon is the one that gives the beast power. He offers it to him. He gives it to him. And those of you who know the protocols of our enemy, you know that they even mention that they have a royal seed that runs throughout their family line, the serpent seed. And they even admit that their symbol of their people is the serpent. And they have one that they believe will eventually accept the thrones of the world. Amazing how God's word always comes to pass, how it's so true. Anyways, what does Christ say to him? Thus, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, or get away from me, Satan. Now that is a lesson for us today. That is what we say to him. You know, when the Antichrist comes and he wants all the world to worship him, and he requires that of the world, we're going to say this exact same thing. Get away from me, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. No matter what, no matter what Satan promises us, no matter if he says, hey, I'll make you a king, I'll give you this special corner in the world, I'll give you riches, fame, glory, sex, whatever. We reject that. Just like our Lord did here. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So Christ rejected, ultimately, it got down to it, where Christ rejected the offer of Satan that the beast will accept. The beast will accept that offer. Back to Revelation 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, one of the beast's heads, and his deadly wound was healed. Now this wound was unto death. He died. And all the world wondered after the beast. In other words, this beast just pulled off a false resurrection. So what does this tell you? He's got to be able to be killed. He's got to be able to be killed. Now, somebody right now would be saying, well, Pastor Ben, are you saying that Satan isn't going to be here in person to deceive the world? No, I'm not saying that at all. It's just that this Antichrist, this beast, is playing a different role of that evil trinity. We're going to find out in a verse here that the whole world will be worshiping the dragon, which is Satan. Satan and his fallen angels will be here on this earth, but this is another part of his trinity of evil. Just as Christ was the Son of God, yet he was God. Somehow Satan will have a son, the seed of the serpent. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I wasn't going to go into this in this study, but we'll touch on it a little bit. that'll be just the exact copycat of what God did. You know, God, the Heavenly Father, planted that seed into the womb of Mary. Mary conceived, and there was Christ. He was half God, half man. I believe the Antichrist will be the same thing. Will he be Satan himself, incarnate in two different places at once? Well, that's something we'll explore. And we're getting into different realms that we don't know a lot about. And I know somebody will accuse me right away saying, how can you give Satan that much credibility to do the things that God did? Hey, it's right here. It's written. He's a copycat. I'm not saying God's allowing him to do these things. But a lot of it is done in imitation. And so forth. Anyways, so the beast gets a wound by the sword, possibly in war. He dies. And now what happens? All the world wonders after the beast. Why? Why did the world wonder after the beast? Because he died in front of them, and then he resurrected. The total opposite, or a total copycat of the resurrection, except done differently. Whereas Christ, when he was crucified, he gave signs, but it was kind of done mostly in secret, only for those with eyes to see and ears to hear, as a test to see who would love God. He died and resurrected, but he didn't display himself to the world. Like the malefactor said, the malefactor next to him on the cross said, if you be the Son of God, I think the high priest said that, get down from the cross right now. Well, Christ did it a different way so that men could love him, love God, love the Father with a true heart, not just by show. But the beast will do it differently. He will do outward displays of this for all the world to see. Because he's not after true love from the heart. He's trying to deceive. So yes, it's a copycat of the resurrection, but it's not quite the same. He's probably going to say stuff like, I paid the price for you guys. I resurrected. I paid the price for you guys not to... you know, wanting peace and prosperity, and I took it for you, or whatever. Maybe something like that. But anyways, we are, and I'm just going to repeat this again, we are Christians today because we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's not the only reason why we're Christians, but that is the main theme of Christianity. That is the foundation of it. And what we see here is going to be the foundation of the new world religion. The religion of the false Messiah. They will worship him for the same thing. Almost as it seems that he died and resurrected and then brought world peace, supposedly. Verse 4. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Now check that out. That's why I said, hey, Satan is still here. His fallen angels will be here. But so will the beast. As a different role. Is it Satan incarnate? Kind of like God and the Son are one? Well, that's something we might explore a little bit. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? What does that tell you? It tells you that that sword that he was killed by, that symbolized war. So no doubt this Antichrist died in battle. Or died by assassination. But then he comes back alive, and then everybody says, who can fight with him? He'll just come back alive. He cannot be defeated. He is like a Superman. He is Satan's Superman. No doubt, half angel, half human, hybrid. All right. So that is why they are worshiping him again, is because he pulled off a resurrection. He ascended out of the bottomless pit. Verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Of course, we know that that 42 months is the last 3.5 years of the final 7-year segment spoken of in Daniel 9, verse 26. Anyways, so he's got this, he's got a mouth. We know that, that this is an individual. He speaks things. A system doesn't speak things and do these other things. And we'll go in and kind of list these things off. List various reasons why this beast must be an individual and not merely a system. Not merely a political system. So he has power given unto him. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth. Again, you'll see this word his in reference to the beast numerous times. His mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle in them that dwell in heaven. So we find out at the midst of the week that the beast is going to be speaking, the Antichrist is going to be speaking great and marvelous things. What do you think he's going to be saying? He's going to be pointing out to the world, in his mind, he's going to be proving to the world that our God is Satan and that we are the Antichrist. You see that? Woe unto those that call good evil and evil good. It's going to be a total flip-flop. He's going to go point for point, I'm sure, through the Bible and say this is why their God, because we're going to be keeping the commandments of God. We're going to be keeping the Bible. And he's going to persecute us for that. And just like I have no doubt, you look at the skeptics today, they'll go through the Bible and they say, oh, look at slavery is mentioned in the Bible. That's evil no matter what. But you know what? God's law is a standard of righteousness. And did you know what? Yes, slavery is one of those things that we're taught that is evil no matter what. Well, how can God regulate something, have laws concerning slavery if it's evil? That would make God evil. See, the world is already calling God evil. And that, you know, a lot of people that haven't studied the Old Testament, even the New Testament talks about it. And I'm not going to go into detail of, you know, the different things, but slavery wasn't evil. It was regulated according to God's law. Sure, a slave owner could be evil. He could abuse his slaves and not treat them right. But as an institution, it was approved of under certain circumstances in God's word. Now, that's hard for us to, that's a hard pill for many of us to swallow, because we've been taught since we were little kids that, again, that it is evil. But that's the same as calling God evil. And that's the thing that Satan's going to do, and he's already deceived most of the world on many major points in the Bible. Sometimes slavery has helped save people from death, from financial ruin, where it was they agreed to be a slave for maybe 7 years or so, or so forth. Sometimes slavery has brought the gospel to a heathenized people, to a heathen people who worship false gods. So there are many different things. You know what? That I didn't even realize this till recently, and I knew there were different laws concerning slavery, but I didn't realize that slavery was mentioned in the Ten Commandments. in the Ten Commandments. You know that commandment that says, thou shalt not covet? If you go down, it says, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, his animals. Then you know what it goes down and says too? You know what else it says? It says his slaves. They are called men servants and maid servants. And if you look that word up in the Hebrew, it is a bond servant or a slave. Right in the Ten Commandments. It says you shall not covet somebody else's slave because it is their property. Sometimes only for 7 years, sometimes for 49 years, and sometimes it was unlimited. And there were different regulations with an Israelite having a slavery concerning Israelites versus foreigners. And boy, when I saw in the Ten Commandments, I just like, whoa, wait a second. That is, wow. Now, am I saying that we should institute it today and stuff like that? I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is that in itself, it is not evil when it's done according to God's law. But Satan, I'm sure he's going to say it's evil in all cases. Everybody should have freedom. That's what we're taught today. Well, some people don't deserve freedom, especially if they worship false gods and things like that. God actually brings people into bondage. He even brought his own people into bondage, the Israelites, into Egypt for 400 years. But that time when eventually a new Pharaoh came up and was a harsh slave master. But during that time when the Israelites were slaves, they prospered. They had families. They grew in number. They were healthy. They were well fed. So it's not always a bad thing. And I just want to say that because we're going to find out in this chapter in a later verse that the whole world is deceived. The whole world is deceived. So he's going to be blaspheming God's name. He's going to be tearing apart the Bible. Verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, not overcome us spiritually. This is speaking of our flesh bodies at this time, and this could be the time when the two witnesses are slain, possibly. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Power given unto who? This beast. The Antichrist. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth. Now check this out. Now this is profound. How could this be? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. With one exception. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see here, we got the true and the false Messiah opposing each other here. The followers of the false Messiah versus the followers of the true Messiah. And the followers of the true Messiah, my friends, is going to be a very small remnant. We're never going to be in the majority until Christ returns. We are going to be hated. We are going to be despised, rejected, just like he was. Just like he was. And we need to be ready for that. The world is going to go crazy. For this beast, he's going to come promising a solution to all of the world's problems. And he's not going to be a beast to them. He's going to be a glorious savior. No doubt at this time, he's supernaturally charged, probably looking like the resurrected Christ. If any man have an ear, let him hear. What does that mean? Why would God say that? Because this is a deep subject. And it's one that those with eyes to see and ears to hear need to understand. We need to understand the evil trinity, the different parts, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, of which we haven't touched on yet, but we will in our next study. Whenever Jesus says something like that, you have to go back and study and sift through the scriptures and gain every detail that you can. So that you be not deceived like the rest of the world. So that you're ready for what's coming. So that these miracles that the dragon and the beast perform, as well as the false prophet, that they don't catch you off guard, make you question yourself. And you know, a lot of people, again, that's why I use the example of slavery, because it's so disgusting in the ears of most people to say that slavery is not wrong all the time. That is so vile to people, but yet it is God's word. It is His law. And I point out one of the most, well, I can point out homosexuality. You know, a lot of people think that's mean. I could go on and on, but I picked that one because it's the one that touches most people's buttons today. Did you know that we are slaves to Christ? We are. God says that the nation of Israel are His slaves. Is that bad? Hey, when you got a good master like we have, it's not bad at all. It's joyous. It's prosperity. I mean, He gives us everything. He loves us. All right, let's review this here. The beast is an individual and not just a system. And here is some additional proof for that. We're going to go through some scriptures here that should leave no shadow of a doubt as to this fact. Revelation 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, here's the point I'm going to make. The dragon was Satan, but yet he had multi-heads. He wasn't just a system. He was a person. That means the beast must be as well. Okay? Let's go to the next point. I'm going to make a lot of points here. You might have to listen to this again and take notes and go over these scriptures and pray about them. Don't just take my word for it. Check this out for yourself. And don't just take in some other pastor's word for it. You better find this out for yourself, because if you just close your mind and close your eyes and put your hands over your ears because your pastor didn't teach you this, and you're not going to further investigate it, then you've got some issues you need to work out. You need to put the hands on the scriptures for yourself and see what the truth is. Revelation 16, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Okay, the dragon has a mouth. That's Satan. And out of the mouth of the beast. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. So here we see here that these are individuals with mouths. How can I document that? Because the dragon was Satan. That is the focal point. That is the key to understanding this whole thing. that the false prophet is not just a religious system. He is a religious ruler. The mimic of the Holy Spirit incarnate, if you would. So what we got here, again, here's the evil trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, working together against God. This is what they do here. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. They're going to oppose God when he returns. How in the world are they going to convince the world to fight against the true God? Because the world is going to think that God is evil, that his laws are unjust, that he is stern and mean, and that he only chose the Israelites to be his royal family on the earth, who make up primarily today white Christians. The white Christian nations of the world. The world doesn't like that. They didn't like colonialism when the gospel was going forth by the people of God's kingdom. They didn't like that. So whose side are they going to pick? They're going to pick Satan's side. The dragon side, because he's going to convince people from all races, all nations, that our God is evil and that we, as white Christians, are evil. Now, there are other people from other races that are going to be a part of our family. The Apostle Paul talks about the grafting in of the different branches. And yes, some of those branches were actually lost to Israelites and so forth. But nevertheless, people from all different races can receive salvation. Even a Kenite. Even God said to Cain, if you do well, you will be accepted. So even the evil seed that's on this earth, not Satan, but his children can convert and become a child of God and receive salvation. So he's gathering the whole world, and he's able, again, he's going to be able to convince them. Revelation 19, and I have to say that because, and we might get into this a little bit more. I kind of got into it in a different study. We probably will. That Satan isn't going to come saying that he was Jesus Christ who died for our sins. In fact, it's in John, I can't remember, and we're going to go there, don't worry about it, not today, but in another study. He's going to come in his own name because he wants the glory. He's not going to give it. He's not going to keep trying to give it. He wants to be worshipped for who he is, and he wants to convince the world that God is evil and that he is good. He did it with Adam and Eve, and we did it with Eve in the garden. Eve knew that that wasn't God. But Satan promised, Satan said that God's laws were harsh and that God was holding them back and that they could excel and be gods if they worshiped him, if they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And she accepted. Even after walking with God in the Garden of Eden. That is how good Satan's deception is going to be. So does he use impersonators today? You bet he does. But will the Antichrist ultimately be a great impersonator? Yes, as the false Christ he will. But he won't say that he was Jesus Christ who died for our sins 2,000 years ago. I just don't see it. I don't see how it's possible. Should you be ready for that? I suppose you should be. But I'm going to show you some scriptures that document, again, I don't have time to do it today. We're going to do another study on it. That are going to document that the Antichrist, from the epistles of John, that what he says, what is an antichrist? He that denieth that Jesus came in the flesh. He said, even now there are many antichrists in the world, but the antichrist will come. He gives us a definition. All right. I can't remember if I read that. And I saw the beast. No, I didn't read this. This is important. And I, well, we're going pretty long here, but that's okay. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth. Wait a second. I thought this beast was just a system made up of the kings of the earth. Bingo. We got it right here. Another proof. The beast is separate from the kings of the earth. He rules over the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. They're warring against Christ when he returns. Verse 20, we're going to go to Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These two individuals, the beast and the false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Systems are not cast into the lake of fire. Individuals are. Fallen angels are. People are. It even goes as far as to say they were cast alive in there. You know, I don't know. Years ago, I've been looking at this. I've noticed this evil trinity for several years now, at least. I think we even did we even mentioned this in our documentary, Victory Over Evil, that we did like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. But I don't know why I didn't see this prior to that. The beast and the false prophet are thrown alive into this lake of fire. These aren't just systems that are thrown in there. These are the leaders over those systems. Only these two so far. Not the people that followed them. Not the rest of the system. Not the political system and not the religious system. But just these two leaders. And we go to Revelation 20, verse 10. Now we're going to see the whole satanic trinity thrown into the lake of fire, or all join each other in that lake of fire. Here we go. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now we know the devil, of course, is an individual. He's not a system. And as well as the beast and the false prophet, where they are tormented day and night forever and ever. And this is most likely a figure of speech just saying that they are terminated. The second death has taken place for them. They are the first ones to die. The beast and the false prophet are the first ones to die the second death. And Satan joins them after the millennium. And we're way in Revelation 20, verse 10. We didn't read all the stuff that happened in between there. But there was a whole 1,000-year period after the beast and the false prophet were in the lake of fire that the devil was locked in the bottomless pit for. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, he was released, deceived the nations one more time, and then was cast into the lake of fire. And then what happens after that? Obviously, then the rest of the world is judged on an individual basis. All the other souls. Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now, I believe this, when he ascends out of the bottomless pit, this is where, when he dies with the wound by the sword, the deadly wound, I believe he goes down into the bottomless pit, and then he ascends out of it. as the world's Superman, the resurrected beast. And go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. What is it? Now notice something. Again, pay attention to detail. It says that he ascends out of this bottomless pit and goes into perdition. What does that mean? That the beast is the son of perdition. Just as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says. It says, whose coming and power is after the working of Satan. It means that Satan gave him his power. Just as the dragon gave the beast its power. It's the same person. It is the Antichrist. All right, 17 verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Again, we're going to all, these are all documentations that the beast is an individual. And why we have to say that is because we're going to build off of that. And that's why we're really laying the groundwork here. And here's the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. That's 42 months. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. What does that say? Well, the beast is a king. Because there were seven kings. He was of the seven because he was most likely the seventh king who was slain. Then he resurrected and became the eighth king. I should say, better than resurrected, I should say he ascended out of the bottomless pit. All right. Some more documentation. Revelation 17, verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, the ten horns of the beast, which have received no kingdom as yet. Now check this out. But receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. What does that tell you? That the ten kings, the ten horns obviously are ten kings that are part of that beast. But they reign alongside of the beast. In other words, the beast is over above them. He is the supreme ruler. And then there's 10 below. There's always got to be one person in charge. And we find out from the book of Daniel even that this is the little horn and so forth. Revelation 17 verse 13. These have one mind, the 10 kings do, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. If the beast was just a system, then this verse would likely just read, these 10 kings have one mind. But it doesn't just stop there. It says they have one mind and they agree to give their power and strength to the beast, to that other world ruler. No, again, known as the Antichrist. Verse 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, Mystery Babylon, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast. Okay, there we have it again. They've given their power to the Antichrist until the words of God should be fulfilled. All right, if that wasn't enough documentation, I'm going to give you some more. Additional proof that the beast is an individual, not just a system. It isn't the Roman Catholic Church. It isn't an Islamic caliphate, like many would have you believe. And here they are. He comes out of the bottomless pit. Okay, a system doesn't come out of the bottomless pit. Anytime we read about the bottomless pit, it is the abode of demons, fallen angels, and other types of things that are evil, wicked. Revelation 11, verse 7. He gets killed. Revelation 13, verse 3. He resurrects. He has a mouth. He is worshipped. An image is made of him. Now, an image is never made, an idol is never made, at least in the Bible, has never been made of a system. We read back in Daniel chapter 2, there is an image of a man. And Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold and so forth. But that image was a type of the image that will be made to this man, to this Superman. Satan's Superman, his son, the seed of the serpent. All right. He has a name. A number is attributed to his name. He has a throne that he sits on. He has a kingdom. He is called a king. He is the son of perdition. There is a symbol of him, or the mark of the beast. And what's most important, when you read it, when you read all the different prophecies concerning the Antichrist, that beast fulfills the roles of the Antichrist. In other words, you cross-reference some of the things. Let's take, for example, he blasphemes God for 42 months. You know who does that in the Old Testament? In Daniel chapter, I think it's 7 and 8. The little horn. The willful king. So it can't just be merely a system. It is an individual. And you might be getting tired of me repeating that, but that's important. We need to build off of truth. Off of the scriptures. And not off of the opinions of man. Not after a church, the doctrines of some church system. Not after the teachings of a great scholar or a great teacher. But we must build off of God's word. Anyways, hey, we'll close with this. Who is the beast? And I kind of gave a little bit of this away, but I'll read it nevertheless. Is he human? Is he a Superman? Is he a fallen angel? Is he Satan himself? Or is he the seed of the serpent? Well, we'll get into that in our next study. Anyways, hey, do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you digest it. Meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.